Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, December the 27th. Well, with Christmas over, many of the presidential candidates rushed back to Iowa yesterday to persuade Iowa caucus goers to caucus for them. 1 week from today, it is crunch time. We will run through the latest news from each of the camps, find out who's running strong and who still needs to gain some ground as the January 3rd Iowa caucuses fast approach. We will wonder from our Iowa listeners, who has your vote right now, or are you still undecided? If you're not from Iowa, who are you rooting for, or who do you wonder about? We welcome any questions you have about the campaigns in Iowa, or your questions about the caucus process, for that matter. Our guest analyst is from Iowa, and he's poised to answer them at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Toll free from anywhere. If you're in Madison, please use 263-1890, 263-1890. You can also send us an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Our guest is David Redlosk, an associate professor of political science at the University of Iowa. He was the Democratic chair of the Johnson County, Iowa presidential caucuses in Johnson County, Iowa, in 2004. One of his most recent books is How Voters Decide, Information Processing During an Election Campaign. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So, did you in Iowa have a quiet Christmas?
Well, we had a quiet Christmas day.
Yeah.
I went to my mailbox the day before and the day after Christmas, and it was loaded with political mailings, but there was no mail on Christmas Day.
And no telephone calls either?
And no telephone calls either.
Yeah, so Chris Dodd was the only candidate actually there on Christmas, right?
That's right, because he actually has moved to West Des Moines, rented a house, and set up his family there, put his daughter in school, and it makes it much more convenient for him.
Yeah, a lot of good at Stunham, though, huh?
Well, he has had a hard time breaking through the back of the pack this entire time, and it's not been really clear to me exactly why that is. I've been to a number of his events. People come away saying, wow, he's saying a lot. He's got the gravitas. He really seems to have an understanding. But then they're gravitating to the front runners anyway.
Yeah. And a bunch of those front runners started returning yesterday.
They did. In fact, pretty much all the Democratic candidates were here, with the exception of John Edwards, who was doing a one-day tour of New Hampshire. And on the Republican side, we have most of them, at least the ones who are very active in Iowa, back in the state as well.
Yeah. So how excited or tired are Iowans of all of this?
It depends on who you ask. I think even regular caucus goers are feeling a little tired now. This particular caucus is unique in that we haven't had a completely wide open race on both sides since the caucuses have had their first in the nation status. So people, of course, tend to focus on one party or the other, but you can't help but being inundated by both parties. So we've really had two massive campaigns going on in the same time for well over a year, and I think even the most dedicated caucus goers actually feeling pretty happy the caucuses are coming early this year.
Yeah. Well, let's just touch briefly on both sides. Before Christmas time, it seemed that Mike Huckabee was astounding a lot of people and shot to the front of the pack on the Republican side. That's still the case right now?
It appears to be. He really will be. He will be the story of this year if, in fact, it holds. You just have to look at the polling numbers for him, and it's almost a straight-up line in the last 2 months, literally out of nowhere. The latest polling continues to show Huckabee and Romney sort of locked in a battle, but Huckabee appears to have the edge in polling. But it's important to recognize the nature of the Iowa caucuses. People have to get out of their houses and go to some building and talk politics for an hour or two, which makes polling a fairly difficult thing to do.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll talk a little bit more about the nature of the caucuses. But on the Democratic side, still a dead heat among the three front runners, Clinton, Obama, and Edwards?
It appears to be still a dead heat. We're inundated with polls like everything else, and they bounce around a bit, but the only conclusion you can draw looking at the big picture is any one of those three is just about as likely to win.
We're talking about the Iowa caucuses this hour, how the campaigns are getting out their message during this final week, how the race is shaping up, welcoming your questions for our guest, and welcoming your calls on your favorite candidate, whether or not you will be participating in the Iowa caucuses next week. If you are in Iowa, and we do have listeners in Iowa, we certainly want to hear from you. But even if you're not, your call's welcome at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, or talk at WPR.org. Our guest is David Redlosk, an associate professor of political science at the University of Iowa. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 17 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, December the 27th. Coming up later today, Gene Purcell in for Ben Marins for At Issue. After 5, Gene's guest will examine the cost of the presidential candidates' campaigns and wonders if it would make more sense to outsource the manufacture of American politics. Well, that sounds interesting. He'll be talking with Lewis Lapham, who is a national correspondent for Harper's Magazine, after 5 o'clock this afternoon. We're talking about the presidential campaign as well, how the campaign, the race is shaping up with Iowa's caucuses just 1 week away, 1 week from today. And we are welcoming your vote right now for president. Who will you be voting for if you're in Iowa? And who are you rooting for in Iowa if you live here? 1-800-642-1234. And why? 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or talk at WPR.org. 1 week from today, on January 3rd, Kathleen Dunn will be broadcasting from Dubuque. From 9 to 11 a.m., the location is a cafe in Dubuque and apparently filled to capacity already. So at this point, no more audience attendees can be accommodated, but you are certainly going to be able to hear the program from wherever you are and hear the caucus goers who have been invited to participate, the campaigns, the Iowa analysts, and more. That's Thursday, January 3rd from 9 to 11 a.m. and Friday, January 4th from 9 to 11 a.m. Kathleen Dunn broadcasting on location from Dubuque, Iowa to cover the Iowa caucuses and the results. And we continue talking about the Iowa caucuses this hour. And let's take our first caller who is in Dubuque, Iowa, Megan. Hi, Megan. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. Actually, I'm one of those first-time caucus goers that's actually really excited for all of this to get started here next week.
Great.
I'm a big supporter of Barack Obama. I've had the opportunity to see him speak quite a few times when he's been in the area. And I've listened to the three big frontrunners for the Democratic candidate, and they all, you know, kind of have similar stances on the big issues, and I think it really comes down to who you think is going to be the best leader. And he, to me, is just Barack is very an inspiring speaker, and just really gives hope for the nation. And that's the reason that I've decided to go with him.
Well, that's great, and I thank you for calling, Megan. You say you're a first time caucus goer. Do you mind telling us about how old you are?
I'm 30 years old,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I've participated in the elections in the past, but this was the first year that I guess Barack's term is to get fired up, that I've been, you know, fired up about the election. I've had a chance to see some of the other candidates as well speak, and, you know, I just, from the first time that I heard his message, I just, it seems like he says what I'm thinking before I even say it. And, you know, I've had the chance to see him, like I said before, and, you know, I've left just feeling so inspired and, you know, really excited about the whole process.
Yeah, and
so,
you don't get that same inspiration from, say, Hillary Clinton.
I really don't. I actually really looked at her, you know, coming into the election as who I was thinking that I was going to go with. And, you know, after listening to Barack talk and just his different stance on issues, I just have really, really liked, you know, I have family members that are teachers. I like his stance on education. I'm a nurse myself, and we've had some striking union issues in Dubuque in the past, you know, few years. And, you know, I've really liked his issues, you know, as far as merit-based pay increases and, you know, things like that. So there's a couple little fine details that I've really liked what he has to say about it.
Well, thank you so much for letting us know. Professor Redlaska, that's got to be news that the Hillary Clinton campaign is not happy about.
Well, it's interesting. Both the Clinton campaign and the Obama campaign are making strong pitches to first-time caucus goers, but in somewhat different demographic groups. Obviously, Clinton has been relatively strong among women in general, but much of her pitch for the first-time caucus goers has actually been older women who have not maybe come out to caucus in the past, and part of how she's doing that is with her idea called caucus buddy system, where people are supposed to buddy up and go to caucuses together. Obama, on the other hand, also very reliant on first-time caucus goers, is very much focused on a younger demographic. Our caller is exactly in that demographic. And the interesting trick for Obama is, at least historically, getting people out who are younger has been very difficult for the caucus, in the caucus process. So his campaign needs the kind of enthusiasm and excitement we just heard in order to really make the kind of difference that we haven't seen before. So both candidates are looking for that. The Edwards campaign, on the other hand, seems very, very dependent on folks who have caucused before. He's got a base already here. Those folks are very, very likely to turn out.
Yeah, and how is that likely to affect the caucus? I've heard some speculating that these seasoned caucus goers and these John Edwards supporters you know, might make a difference, a big difference on caucus day.
Yeah, that is a lot of the speculation right now, that, and it is based on the historical evidence that efforts to, as we say, expand the caucus universe have not been terribly successful in the past, where, of course, efforts to get out people who've caucused before are typically much more successful. But, you know, you have to say that there's a different environment this time around, too. The level of excitement, as expressed by that caller, as expressed by many other people, seems kind of different. And so I guess, you know, we're all kind of sitting down in armchair speculating here. Mm-hmm. But if we look to next Thursday, if the weather's good, you know, if it's not an ice storm or a snowstorm, we may see that substantially increased Democratic turnout, which would benefit Obama probably most directly and Clinton next.
Talk a little bit about exactly how this process works. How do Iowans caucus?
Well, it's slightly different if you're a Republican versus a Democrat. So very quickly, it's easy to explain the Republican side. They'll gather in schools and other public buildings at 7 o'clock next Thursday. They'll hear a few short speeches from supporters of candidates, and then they'll cast a straw vote. They'll write their candidate's choice on a piece of paper and turn it in. That's it. It's done. It's pretty straightforward. They'll then go on to doing various party business things that we do in caucus. The Democrats, on the other hand, have a much more open and complicated process, although I hesitate to use that word, because it's not all that hard to caucus. You just have to kind of listen and pay attention. The Democrats are going to come in. Actually, they'll call their caucus to order at 6:30, start presidential preference at 7 o'clock, with the chair of the caucus saying to people, okay, if you support Barack Obama, go over there. If you support Hillary Clinton, go over there. And for each candidate, there'll be a place in the room or a room near the room, depending on the size of the caucus, for supporters to gather. They'll count the supporters. They'll identify which candidates don't have at least 15% support in the caucus. Those candidates are not viable. Those supporters then generally end up going to their second choice candidate. They'll count again. They'll get a final count, and they'll report the number of delegates that each candidate gets based on that final count. So it's more complicated. It takes longer. Republicans can be in and out of a caucus and do all the business within an hour. Democrats, it'll take at least an hour, maybe an hour and a half, just to do the presidential preference stuff.
Interesting. Is there any, and it's all speculation at this point, but that second choice factor, is there a particular candidate who, among the front runners, that would benefit from that second choice factor?
Right now, the guessing, backed up by some polling, is that actually Edwards benefits the most, followed by Obama, with Clinton coming in third on the second choices. You know, when we look at this outside of the polls themselves, I think the speculation is that while Edwards has been here before and people know him, people really feel they know the Clintons. I mean, there's a 15-year history back to 1992. Mm-hmm. There's a sense that, you know what you're getting with the Clintons. And if you haven't signed on already, many of us speculate, you're just much less likely to consider her a second choice. Where Obama, with his sort of newness and excitement and message, and Edwards with his familiarity, but not quite in the same way as the Clintons, seems to really benefit in the second choice stuff among those who support the potentially less viable candidates.
Yeah. Well, Professor Redlawsk, how important is the outcome of the Iowa caucuses to the rest of the presidential campaign or race?
Well, you know, that's a really good question that doesn't have a really clear answer. At one level, political scientists look at it and measure effects of momentum or measure effects of, winning or beating expectations and say that they can't find very much. It may be that Iowa has some impact on New Hampshire, but it's not clear that it has a bigger picture impact from in the way a political scientist would look at it. But as a practical matter, what we do see, of course, is that Iowa winnows out candidates that can't build organization, that can't raise money, that can't get support. If they can't show it in Iowa, they're pretty unlikely to move forward very far. There's also some recent research by a guy named Chris Hull who has looked at the effect of the Internet and what he calls e-mentum as opposed to momentum. And he's suggesting, at least in 2004, that this idea of Internet momentum, e-mentum, played a huge role for Kerry getting the bump he got out of Iowa and into New Hampshire.
We're going to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio and then continue talking about what happens in Iowa 1 week from today. The first indicator, the first vote in the 2008 presidential race, the Iowa caucuses. Next Thursday, January the 3rd. If you are going to be participating in the Iowa caucuses, we want to hear from you. Who will you be caucusing for and why? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison. Even if you are not, we want to know who you are rooting for and why. Our Madison number is 263-1890. Guest is David Redlawsk, an associate professor of political science at the University of Iowa. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Thursday, December the 27th. We are previewing next week's Iowa caucus vote with David Redlawsk, an associate professor of political science at the University of Iowa. He was the Democratic chair of the Johnson County, Iowa presidential caucuses in 2004. He is also the author of many books. His most recent, How Voters Decide, Information Processing During an Election Campaign. We welcome your calls about the presidential candidates, the campaigns, the race for the White House, how the candidates and the issues are playing out in Iowa. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We heard from one listener in Dubuque who told us she plans to be a first-time Iowa caucus goer next week, and she plans on voting for Barack Obama. What about you? If you're in Iowa, we'd like to hear from you. Even if you're not in Iowa, we'd like to hear from you. Who are you rooting for and why? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Professor Redlosk, let's talk a little bit about the strengths and weaknesses of the various candidates in Iowa. We did hear from the Barack Obama supporter in our last half hour who says she thinks that he's inspiring and he gives her hope. She thinks that he's the best leader. She thinks that all the front runners kind of have the same basic positions on the Democratic ticket, and that's why she's leaning for Barack Obama, because of that inspiration and that hope that he spreads. That is one of Barack Obama's strengths?
It is. The rhetoric that he's used throughout this campaign has been what you could say of the soaring kind, of the kind that people look to and say, wow, that's exciting, there's a future, there is in fact hope. And that can be very, very appealing to people. It's not especially surprising, given the rhetoric, that his appeal has really hit with younger potential caucus goers, with younger voters. These are folks who are often inspired by those kinds of positions and statements in a way that older voters are just a little less so. Maybe it's that older people are slightly more cynical, perhaps. But clearly that's been an important part of his campaign, his message. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I was just going to say, when you turn to Hillary Clinton, you've got a slightly different angle. Mm-hmm. In the case of Clinton, she's of course emphasized experience. She's emphasized, you know, many, many years of political involvement, her time as First Lady in the White House, her time in the U.S. Senate, and so on, and has really built her campaign through the idea of experience. What's interesting to me is that both of these candidates in the last few days are retooling their messages, and they sound quite similar. In particular, Clinton has talked now, her latest ads, her campaign stuff, she's now talking about experience and change, that we can have a new future, mm-hmm. but we need experience to do it. And then you turn to Edwards, who 4 years ago was billed as the optimist, the always smiling candidate. And this time around, his approach has been much more populist, much more the little guy against the big corporations, and his argument that he will fight the big corporations, he'll fight the vested interests in Washington. And again, there's a streak of populism in Iowa, and I think this is one of the reasons all three of these folks are essentially tied. They tap into slightly different interests and desires in the Democratic Party.
Yeah, there was some talk that if a candidate went negative in Iowa, that was going to hurt that candidate. Is that true, and has that happened?
Well, I think the idea that it's true suggests that in some way Iowans are different than other voters. And while we may be different, I don't think we're different in that way. That is, we all say we don't like negativity, but there is some evidence that it connects to people. We are kind of, political psychologists will suggest that we're sort of wired to pay attention to negative information. So we may not like it, but it does break through. And so the result is that a certain amount of negativity is almost inevitable, and it isn't going to doom your campaign to do it.
Mm-hmm. The news of, I think it was last week, that a Hillary Clinton campaign advisor brought up that Barack Obama could be hurt if he were the nominee, because the Republicans might bring up his past with experimenting with drugs.
Right. And, you know, that advisor, Bill Shaheen in New Hampshire then was forced to resign.
Mm-hmm.
Often what you see are campaigns using somebody other than the candidate to get their negative messages out. It's a time-worn tradition. You really don't want the candidate being so directly attacking, but you can use surrogates to do this. And even if your surrogate then has to resign for accidentally saying something that shouldn't have been said, the issue is out there. The point's been made.
Yeah, right. And not to dwell on it, but is that something in Barack Obama's past that doesn't appear to be hurting him in any way in Iowa?
I think the issue is hard to tell. I mean, to some degree, there are certainly voters out there who aren't going to be happy about someone who admits to prior drug use. On the other hand, he's come clean about it quite a long time ago. He's written about it in his books. And typically when things are out there, they're much less dangerous than when they're found by somebody.
Okay, lots of callers. So let's go to Zach in Green Bay first. Hi, Zach. You're on the air.
I am a Wisconsin voter, and I plan to support John Edwards because he is one of only two of the Democratic candidates who have had the courage to openly and publicly question corporate power. He is also very likely the most electable candidate among the Democratic field. And I think it's important for Democratic voters to realize that the negatives that Hillary Clinton has among the general voting public is the reason that, in my opinion, the Republicans most want to face Hillary Clinton in the fall.
Hmm. Interesting. Comments, Professor Redlask?
Well, I think what Zach's getting at on the electability point is something the Edwards campaign has really been hammering on, particularly in the last week or so here in Iowa. Polling does seem to back that up to the extent that we can believe it at all. When they test head-to-head of the candidates, while all the Democrats do well against pretty much all the Republicans, Edwards generally appears to be the strongest in most of these polls. The Edwards campaign also makes the claim that as a Southerner, he has a better chance of winning a number of the border states that could make the difference in the Electoral College. So this electability issue is an important one, and it's one that the campaign is pushing pretty heavily. This question is one that is contentious. It's hard to know what makes a candidate electable, what doesn't make a candidate electable. The Clinton folks would argue that she's electable because of her experience. Obama, of course, because of his hope and so on and so forth. But it clearly is something that many, many voters take into account, and there's a general sense that Iowa caucus goers really do look at electability.
Yeah, and do they? What about the negatives? We hear a lot about Hillary Clinton's high negatives.
You know, it's hard to assess that in the terms of the real world of a general election. The reality is, of course, that you don't actually have to win the most votes, as we know from the year 2000. You have to win the most votes in the Electoral College, and you only have to win it by one. So, you know, in a sense, the Clinton campaign's claim is, well, this doesn't really matter because, of course, there are 45% of the public will vote against any Democrat.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. 55% would be a big win.
Kevin in Canton, Minnesota. Hi.
Hi. I just recently drove from Minnesota to Missouri, and I counted all the political signs that I saw in people's yards. And John Edwards won by one sign over Hillary Clinton. With Obama third, and Bill Richardson got one sign, and there were no Republican signs from north to south. That was just my observation for whatever it's worth.
His unscientific poll, Professor Redlask.
Well, it is, of course, unscientific. On the other hand, one really clear thing it shows is that the intensity in the Democratic campaign has been much greater than in the Republican campaign in Iowa. We have, of course, had a Republican campaign, and we've had candidates, particularly Romney, spending a large amount of time and a huge amount of money, and now, of course, Huckabee coming up to challenge him. But the Republican campaign as a whole just has not had the level of intensity. Part of that is that Giuliani, in particular, is just not really playing in Iowa, and now he's not really playing much in New Hampshire either. He's counting on Florida. And Fred Thompson's campaign never really got all that exciting. He's out there now. And McCain collapsed over the summer. We think he might be resurging. But the bottom line is, I'm not overly surprised that there weren't a lot of Republican signs. The level of excitement is just lower on that side.
We'll talk more about the Republican side of things after we check weather and still take your calls on who you are rooting for and why with the Iowa caucuses 1 week away. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, 12 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Thursday, December the 27th. A Better Deal is calling. Coming up after 7, I'll be talking with an editor for Consumer Reports magazine about the best cell phones and providers, and the worst, for that matter. That's coming up after 7 o'clock. Then we'll talk about our health after 8 o'clock with Joe and Terry Graydon from the People's Pharmacy. Right now we're talking about politics, and we're previewing next week's Iowa caucuses 1 week from today on Thursday, January the 3rd, the first indicator, the first vote of the presidential race taking place in Iowa. We're talking with a guest analyst from Iowa and welcoming your questions for him about the process, about the campaigns in Iowa, about how the candidates and the issues are playing in Iowa. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. David Redlosk is an associate professor of political science at the University of Iowa, Democratic chair of the Johnson County, Iowa presidential caucuses in Johnson County in 2004. Julie in Appleton is our next caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I just heard Huckabee say on the news that pheasant hunting was like running for president, because if you if anybody uses negative campaigning, it proves you can shoot, and if anybody uses negative campaigning, they better watch out. And I'd just like to comment that, I don't know, I guess to paraphrase Gandhi, I like your Christ, your Christians, not so much. And I wonder if it's implicit in running for president that, I mean, you can't really claim to be a Christian, that to follow true Christian principles when you're going to have to...
You didn't like Julie, his reference to shooting someone if they go negative.
Yeah, what the heck?
Yeah, what the heck, Professor Redlosk?
Well, this was one of the more unusual statements. I actually saw this on the news last night and was a little bit surprised by it. Huckabee, though, has this persona of a kind of aw shucks, just regular kind of guy thing, mm-hmm. that he plays up very heavily, and I think it connects quite well with the base that he's interested in connecting to. Unfortunately, your caller's not one of those people that he's aiming for,
so to speak,
exactly. but you know, it is sort of an odd statement, and I think if this were anything outside of, you know, a Republican campaign going after a very conservative Republican base, it would draw sort of more raised eyebrows. Huckabee's been doing this kind of thing all along. It brings to mind the first television ad I saw for him, in which the words Christian leader appeared mm-hmm. on the ad very clearly, something we aren't used to seeing in presidential campaigns.
And then much was made of his Christmas ad where the bookcase that looked like a cross was
right.
illuminated behind him
right.
as he talked about the birth of Christ or whatever. How is that playing out in Iowa, the Christian leader versus the candidate who's a Mormon?
Well, you know, this is... it kind of underlies things, but nobody talks particularly directly about it. That is, the reality is there are a number of people who are conservative Christians who do not either understand what Mormons believe or who they are, who do not see Mormons as Christians, who are very unlikely to support a Mormon for president. Until sort of Huckabee's rise, this issue didn't seem to play particularly hard against Romney, just because these very same people didn't see much alternative out there. Now that they do, I think that's actually the dynamic going on, even though it's kind of under the radar. People aren't going to talk openly about the issue. It's clearly that Romney is drawing from the likely Republican caucus goers who do not consider themselves to be evangelicals or born again, and Huckabee is drawing very heavily from those who consider themselves to be evangelical Christians.
Yeah. Yet, and then Romney's campaign was trying to go after Huckabee, saying, hey, this guy is not so conservative. Look at his socially liberal, you know, stands on immigration,
yeah,
or his, you know, he's a tax and spender guy.
And he's doing it with, you know, to get back to the guns, with all his guns loaded.
Yeah.
Romney's got a lot of money. Romney can pretty much buy whatever television time he wants. And you just have to spend a little bit of time in front of the TV to see his attacks on Huckabee. It's pretty intense, pretty aggressive, and I expect will continue for the rest of this campaign.
Yeah, you touched on it just before our weather break. Keeping an eye on John McCain is nationally, a lot of commentators are saying, hey, we spoke of his campaign's death way too soon. He's moving up.
He does appear to be moving up in some national polling. It's less clear in Iowa what's actually going on. One poll came out recently, the ARG poll, that suddenly showed him at 20%, and doesn't seem even possible to most observers here. It seems an anomaly. But it could be that he's making a bit of a run in Iowa, and it's probably not so much that McCain has much going on here, because he doesn't. He doesn't have much organization. He hasn't spent time here. But it may be a reflection that outside of Romney and Huckabee, there don't appear to be any strong candidate choices for Iowa Republicans, since nobody else has really caught fire.
Mm-hmm. Carrie in Augusta, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. I wanted to just comment. I'm a Wisconsin voter, and I'm looking forward to our February 19th primary. I wish I could be part of the Iowa caucuses. It sounds so exciting, that process. But I wanted to comment, back a little while ago, you were talking about the kind of the generation difference that might show up in supporters for Obama. And I am a mama for Obama, and I'm an over 50 woman who has been behind him 100%. I've got all my my own bumper stickers and things. I commute from Eau Claire to Madison to my job several times a week in the field of education. And I am so strongly for him, as is my 20-year-old son, as is my over 50 husband. Mm-hmm. And I think that level of enthusiasm really is out there, because it is a level of hope and change and excitement. And I'm so looking forward to 2008.
There we go. Another someone who's impressed by Obama. I haven't heard that before. Have you, the mamas for Obama?
I haven't, and I'm sort of surprised that I haven't. It's a great line. And, you know, when we make these generalizations about demographics that we often do, it does hide the fact that, of course, in every demographic, there's support, people supporting every candidate. Fewer people in an older demographic are supporting Obama, but there are people supporting Obama. One of the things he has going for him quite clearly is the level of excitement he's generated among his supporters, and that's going to be the key question next Thursday. Are they excited enough in Iowa to get out on that cold winter night and spend a couple of hours talking politics with their friends and neighbors in a local school? That remains to be seen.
Mm-hmm. Carrie, thank you very much for the call. Connie in Cable, Minnesota. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Joy. Can you hear me all right? I'm on a cell phone.
Yes, we can.
Great. Yeah, I'm in Mabel, Minnesota. I'm calling in response to your caller before from Canton, Minnesota. He lives probably about 10 minutes away from me, and I thought it was really interesting his observations that he sign counted. In just our little area here, I was just mentioning that the Democratic voters are more verbal and thus end up putting the signs out, whereas the Republican folks don't usually put the signs out. But there's a huge population. Our farmers around here, our farmer base, the large mom-and-pops that are now large, are Republican. And those mm-hmm. are the folks that come and vote and then push out the Democrats that are actually the sign showers. So that's an interesting thing. So
yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Have you observed that, Professor
Radlosk? Well, you know, there is rural voters do tend to be more Republican. Urban voters tend to be more Democrat. I think the interesting thing about the signs, I haven't really thought about it that way, but it is highly possible that Democrats are just more likely to put out signs in the first place.
Mm-hmm. What about Ron Paul? The signs remind me of that because some people say you see Ron Paul signs up here in Wisconsin, and he's got that internet thing going and all that money being raised on the internet. Is he making a blip in Iowa at all?
He may be, but this is, again, one of those things where if he does make a blip in Iowa, it will be kind of a surprise because the folks who are supporting him, who are out there on the internet for him, historically are not people who go in caucus. And so if they get out, go sign up for their Republican caucus, because quite often they're not even Republicans, they're independents, they're libertarians, they could have an impact, particularly given the fact that, you know, other than Romney and Huckabee, no one else is generating a lot of excitement. So you could see a little Ron Paul blip.
Yeah.
On January 3rd.
Well, we're out of time, so I won't make you make predictions. It would be impossible, though, wouldn't it, Professor Rodlasky?
It would be very difficult to predict the future at this point.
Thank you so much for being with us.
I've enjoyed it. Yeah. Thanks.
David Rudlosk is an associate professor of political science at the University of Iowa. And a reminder, Kathleen Dunn will be broadcasting live from Iowa, from Dubuque, on January 3rd and January 4th. On the day of the Iowa caucuses and the day after. Thanks to Karen Prager for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.